It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Lariats. Welcome, everybody. And if perchance you are joining us for the first time, this weekly gathering is like no other that I know of. This is where those of us who've maxed out on those corporate God providers come to hang out for a while, kick back and have a look at this world, maybe the next world from a different perspective. We were preempted last week by a special Father's Day episode. It's good to see you all back in your places with hungover faces, because this is the world's longest running Saturday night after party. Here, we're on a quest for maybe some laughs and some truth. And if a hair of the dog is also on your shopping list, there's a full bar in the back and barbecue outside. So grab a beer and a plate of ribs and settle into one of those comfy barca loungers and stick around a while. I'm into sound. Well, obviously, this is an audio medium, and often I sort of hear a soundtrack in my head for whatever I'm doing or people I'm looking at. Hollywood gets this, don't they? Some obese guy walks into a scene and you hear pointy chick, biker. And for Jesus, it's usually something like this. But the more I think about it, I realize that musical fanfare might work better for God or Moses. But for Jesus, this is really more his style of theme. Or maybe, now before you rip the buds out of your ears, think about this. Maybe, just maybe, Hollywood took its hero cues from JC. People have worshipped thousands of deities over the centuries. Most of them are pretty much like we are. They had families, right? Jupiter's wife was Juno, their kid was Mars, and he had a kid with Venus, even though she was married to Vulcan, and so on and so on. And it's the same thing in Egypt and Greece, just about everywhere. All these pagan gods were imperfect. They were always flying into rages and being petty and jealous and doing nasty stuff. And why wouldn't they? They had families, and families will drive anybody nuts. Those Greek and Roman gods were like something from a sitcom or a melodrama. They sat around on their asses eating grapes and thinking up stupid ways to screw with each other and humans. And then came Jesus, a single man, a confirmed bachelor, a Hollywood-style hero. In many action flicks, there's a romantic interest for the hero, but he never marries her, does he? Something always goes sideways, and he rides off into the sunset solamente. JC's story is very cinematic. He came here alone. He was on a mission. He assembled a crew. He gave them nicknames. And they were creative and kind of funny, sarcastic even. He called Simon Peter, the Rock. Levi became Matthew, the Gift. James and John were the Sons of Thunder. Sounds like a wrestling tag team, no? Just based on the nicknames for his crew, you know this guy was a character with a sense of humor. As we've established here at Sinner Sunday, the sad-eyed, humorless, sunken-chested, whispering weakling Jesus that corporate God providers have fabricated was not at all what the real dude must have been like. Because people are the same as they ever were, and as they always will be, and people don't follow drips. They follow guys with charisma, who are strong and attractive, and great speakers, and entertaining and magnetic. JC was the real deal, authentic hero slash leading man material. and lead he did. By example, of course. But let's follow this thread. He came here solo, on a mission, and assembled a crew. Then he embarked on a journey. Every hero has to go somewhere to complete his mission. It involves perilous passage. And so his did. The 3-year miracle tour. On his journey, he saw and did many wondrous things. He made some enemies. He battled them and vanquished them verbally, as with the scribes and Pharisees. And he was violent when it suited him. Like both times he cleared the temple of money changers and other dirtbags. He had no six gun. Instead, he took them on with a rope whip, a weapon he braided himself. I wonder if he had the coin for a sword. Would he have bought one? Where would he be on the Second Amendment? Unlike the Magnificent Seven, JC's 12-man posse let him down, which only made him more heroic. In the end, he was killed but managed to rise again and rode off, not just into the sunset, but into the heavens under his own propulsion system. No flying horse and chariot, no drone, no rockets. Why are Hollywood heroes rarely family guys? Maybe because when the big showdown comes, he must stand alone and not worry about protecting his family. And if things don't go his way, no kid should ever watch his father being killed. So I guess action heroes pretty much have to be single. And JC had to be single for the story to work. Can you imagine the kvetching he would have gotten from the wife as he went about his business? Asking him when he was coming home, why he had to hang around with those creepy fishermen and tax collectors, telling him his kids barely recognized him. If you've ever seen the movie Close Encounters, the ending is really odd. Richard Dreyfuss, who in the film has a kid, or maybe two, I think, he decides to hop aboard the alien spaceship and take that no-return journey to whatever galaxy those weird little creatures are from. And Spielberg said that had he been a father when he made that movie, no way in hell would he have had Dreyfuss get on that ship. Only an insane father would abandon his kid like that. Nobody asked Steven the obvious follow-up question. What about the wife? So what's at the bottom of this? JC is the undisputed worldwide box office champ in terms of success. No other person or deity has achieved his level of popularity. None. Now, how much of that success is due to his man-on-a-mission character? Even though we know how the story ends for him here on this spaceship Earth, we really don't know how it turned out once he made his fantastic exit. There are some 300 references in the Bible that he will return. Now that is pure 007, isn't it? Every one of those, 25 Bond movies now? It ends with a card saying James Bond will return in whatever the next title is. Maybe the most biblical title of all was You Only Live Twice. When he does return, what will it be like? One of my favorite bumper stickers of all time was Jesus is coming, and boy is he pissed. And let's not forget, he got pissed. Plenty of evidence of that in the Bible. So what happens when he does return? The stuff going on in the temple he cleared was child's play compared to some of the evil we see today. Will he call in some missile strikes? Lay waste to the unjust? Or will he simply levitate every righteous person from here and leave the dirtbags behind to slaughter each other? Besides his man-on-a-mission character, it's the fact that he and Christianity delivers what we really crave most of all. A never-ending story. I've got two kids. I told them both thousands of bedtime stories when they were small. Not read them, told them. Mostly culled from my own childhood. And what they and every kid and every adult really wants out of stories is not only that they hold our interest, but that they not end, or are at least open-ended. Of all the stories we've read and heard and seen, there is one that is exponentially more important than any other. The story of us, our own story. And can you imagine it ending? I can't. There have been studies and experiments on this subject, and most people, when asked to concentrate and imagine this world without ourselves in it, we just can't. It's too painful, isn't it? Try it sometime. See how it feels. So along came this magnetic dude 2,000 years ago, a man on a mission with a journey to complete and a crew, and maybe a signature musical theme. And he really was an amazing teacher. And of all the lessons he taught, the most important one is, it's never over. There's always another bend in the road, or a sunrise on the horizon, or a loved one to hold. Our location is immaterial. Whether we are here or there, we still are. Forever. Come back and hang with us this Tuesday for the regular show. As you know, we get a kick out of psychos. And it turns out that the psycho quotient is geographic. Do you live in a psycho state? Find out in the next episode. I'll have some tales of encounters with psychos I have known. And of course, lots more. Stop by the show's homepage at thatlarryshow.com for more of everything. And while you're there, click that subscribe by email button so you never miss an episode. And if you like what you're hearing, why not help us keep the lights on here at Sinner Sunday and contribute at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. I'll see you Tuesday. And until then, God bless.